Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM, 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can still listen anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. Stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Happy Thursday and happy start of the PGA Championship for you guys. I know you are locked in on it.
It is allegedly a major championship. We will discuss that a little bit later during the program. David Cobb, kind enough to join us each and every Thursday, writes about college football, college basketball for CBS Sports. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at David W. Cobb. Cobb, good day, sir.
Good day. A better day for us than it is for Rory McIlroy.
Rory, my office pool, whatever, my Pepper Pal, like, pick five guys pot that we do, it is already dead. Dead.
Oh, wait. I forget. You did go to Pepperdine, didn't you?
Yeah, no, you may have heard that once or twice. also, let's just say this. The big stick parlay for VIP play that I put out yesterday, we're going to need Rory to really summons like inner strength of that backdoor top 10 that used to be like you could just bank on it. Play yourself out of a major championship on Thursday, but you could bank like the next 3 days are going to be really solid. Like, I need him to dig deep.
And, well, if there's anyone who can do it, it's Rory at Quail Hollow. Who else is in your parlay? Who are the other
guys?
So
we need, it's Bryson, Rory, Scotty to all be top 10.
I don't think you're dead yet.
It's not dead yet, but we got, like, Bryson. So this is the thing. I've noticed the guys that really want to hit draws off the tee, Rory and Bryson in particular, they have really struggled today. I think it's a weird wind because of the weather. So it's a win they're not used to. I mean, Rory today was hitting just some absolute, like, duck hooks.
I mean, he got lucky on 16 that his drive didn't go in the water. I think he hit a tree, still ended up making double. Could have been worse than double if he'd gone in the water.
No, that was great. That whole group, number one, two, three in the world, all made double
all
bogey.
All made double.
Yes.
And then Scotty had the honors after making a double. That was
well,
wild.
Scotty said after the round, like, he's like, I kind of made a putt. He's like, I was kind of happy to make double.
No kidding. Also, how about this, Jeffrey? Sean McKeel, he of Memphis Lore, in the field. He's 56. He's got the light.
They haven't tapped him on the shoulder?
Right. Do they do a lifetime exemption for PGA Championship winners?
It is, on paper, it is a lifetime exemption. I think they tap you on the shoulder at 60. I can't remember if it's 60 or 65. They tap
so
you on the shoulder.
So he's got a couple more left. He doesn't play. I mean, he doesn't. I mean, clearly,
I don't even think,
I mean,
does he play much on. I don't even think he plays much on the Champions Tour.
I don't think he does. I think Doug Barron's the only Memphian who's really active on the Champions Tour because Lauren Roberts just kind of aged out there. So yeah, I mean, you got Doug Barron, but then Sean McKeel, But he didn't play competitively, and now you're at a what? How long is Quail Hollow this week? 7,500 yards
and
or
it's
more.
A, but I mean, it's I think it's close to 76. It obviously depends on the day, like where they put the tee boxes and pins. But it's also a par 71.
I mean, that is a bear for a guy in his mid 50s who doesn't actively play. I mean, you're talking about hitting a going driver hybrid, driver three wood into some of these par fours.
Yeah, I almost wonder, do you even put like your four and six iron, like four through six in your bag? Like just like, I feel like it's just driver, woods, and like short irons and wedges.
Yeah, for sure. But cool to see him still getting after it and getting out there. But this,
did you see the champion's dinner picture?
No, I hadn't seen it.
You gotta look it up. Duffner looks so good. Jason Duffner is exactly what I want Jason Duffner to be.
Like I found it.
He's looking too good.
Oh man.
Cause what do you think Duff's weighing there? 260?
He's well hidden. He's well hidden, I'll say that.
So Duff's out there.
He's in the group. Duffner and McKeel are playing together, so a little past champions
the
grouping there.
The please don't watch these guys group.
Yeah, I wonder how many people are following them. Family and friends.
Maybe. were they playing when the super groups were playing?
Yeah, their third member is Rafael Campos. Like, so there you go.
Like, let's just say I'm like Duffner's cousin. Don't you guys have to think about sneaking out to go and watch Rory Scotty?
Sorry. I had to take a phone call. I didn't see you out there. No. And then Jimmy Walker is in this field, I think, too. And he's got Lyme's disease, I think.
I think he's had that.
Yeah, I think he's had it for a while.
Yeah.
But the absolute most random major champion of our lifetime, Jimmy Walker, won a major.
Like allegedly.
I'm still surprised every time I see that.
The Tron Carter of No Laying Up is still convinced that it happened on a soundstage, that it didn't actually happen. So the PGA Championship going on, I've already forgotten. What's Gerard's first name?
Ryan.
We got Ryan Gerard, who did go bogey to finish, but he leads by one. He's 5-under. Local boys, played at Chapel Hill. Gotta imagine there's a lot of Tar Heel blue out there in Charlotte for him, so he leads by one. Over Luke Donald, Ryder Cup captain again for Europe, who gained, I believe, 4 shots plus on the greens. I don't know if we're going to see Luke tomorrow. allegedly, Ryan Fox sighting.
Jeffrey, it's the first round of a major. Ryan Fox, there's a rule.
Is this a major?
Top 10. Well, it doesn't feel like one. I hate that we're doing it at Quail Hollow because we see this course every year. You go back through the annals of history, 90% of the time you play the PGA Championship or the U.S. Open at a course that we don't see regularly, at a course that we see once every 10 years, if that. And I wish we were doing that instead of playing at a course that we all know and see that they're just trying to like make more difficult. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right.
I also think the PGA got played by the tour. I think what you start to realize, like the PGA Championship, it's always going to be the fourth of the four majors. It's just, that's just the way that it is. The Masters is always going to be the Masters. The Open Championship has all the history, and it's the world's major. It's the only one played overseas. The U.S. Open is always just going to be at the better golf courses in America. It's got more history. So the PGA is always going to be fourth of fourth. But I kind of think like what actually worked, we maybe owe the PGA of America a mulligan on glory's last shot as a slogan. Because really what it was, you know, the classes in college where the final counted for a lot? Like you could have a mediocre year and you kind of nailed the final and it would change how you felt. Like that was kind of what it was. Like it was an opportunity of if you just didn't have that great of a year, the PGA was your chance to kind of make good on that, on everything. And yeah. I just don't think May works.
If you're power ranking the majors, how do you do? Okay, I would go Masters. Now, I would have British Open a much closer second to the Masters than a lot of people do. I love it, the fact that it's on TV first thing in the morning. I love the history. I love the conditions and whatnot. But then I would go U.S. Open, PGA. I mean, I'm assuming that's probably your order as well.
So if this would have been 10 years ago, it would have been U.S. Open, Masters, Open, PGA.
Wow.
But the USGA lost their spine. Like, I will go to the grave. The single greatest day of watching golf ever was that third round at Shinnecock, where they had the course just fiery. The winds were howling. You had Poulter going nuts, blocking people on Twitter from the course. It was just car crash, carnage, train. But these golfers are just so soft that they complained their way into getting setups that just aren't that tough. Like,
yeah,
I enjoyed the mental test that the U.S. Open provided and watching those guys freak out and how they can handle it. But now they've kind of, there's not a lot of difference now between a PGA Championship setup and a U.S. Open setup.
Oh, I agree. And I actually think the PGA Championship has closed the gap for me because I've gotten into these storylines of the PGA professionals, the swing instructors at your local
blocking
country club who are able, yeah, they're able to qualify. I mean, I fell hard for that storyline. I know for the hardcore guy, like hardcore golfers are like, oh, this is a gimmick, like whatever. Like, they got annoyed by Michael Block. I love
it. It was
that
the exposure.
Line.
It was not his story. It was the exposure and then the, like, Nance calling it the greatest up and down in history. And like, but yes, the story itself was pretty cool.
I mean, the hole in one playing in the final round with Rory McIlroy. I mean, get out of here. That stuff. I like that element of it. Here he is on the TV right now. Michael Block, even par, playing his ninth hole. So he's in the mix to be the best PGA pro.
Get ready, y'all. This is not the leaderboard that I would imagine the members were hoping for. Let's talk a little basketball. Eric's going to join us next. Jason will join us during hour number two. I was thinking about this last night. What are kind of your big takeaways from the playoffs? Like, what's something you've learned, you feel like, from these playoffs?
Well, health matters. I mean, that's the overarching biggest story of this playoffs is Stephen Curry being injured, Jason Tatum being injured. How different is the complexion of this NBA playoffs right now if those injuries don't transpire? Now, of course, you know, we can't dance on the grave of the Boston Celtics yet. They bowed up, and my gosh, Luke Kornet just got on something last night, and Boston wins a game. They've got a pulse. Like, I still think New York is
going to win. Sat poor, like, they made like a choice, and I get it. Porzingis is dealing with whatever this illness is that's plagued him. But
right,
I was wondering last night, it's like, have they made the decision? Like, they're just going with Kornet the next two games.
Well, there's a lot to dive into there, and I'm sure we will. But then my kind of other takeaway is I think we are gussying up and gaslighting this like maturation of the Minnesota Timberwolves a bit too much here because, okay, yeah, congratulations, you're back in the Western Conference Finals second year in a row. Like, I'm not taking anything away from that. That's a tremendous achievement. But that achievement comes largely because of the injury that occurred with Stephen Curry. To me, last season, they beat the Nuggets in the second round, who were fresh off, you know, relatively speaking, an NBA championship, seven-game series. I learned a whole lot more about the Timberwolves in last year's second round than I did with them beating an aging, injured, depleted Warriors team in five games. So it's like, I feel like we're getting a little too out in front with the praise of Minnesota because at the end of the day, in all likelihood, they're still going to have to figure out a way to beat OKC, and they may not ultimately be competitive in that series. Now, look, if they take OKC to seven or beat OKC, I mean, all right, like let's have that conversation about Minnesota. I just feel like we're showering them with praise a bit prematurely here.
No, I definitely think that you are 100% spot on, and what I think we're learning with Minnesota is they've beaten two brands. You know, like, we don't really think about it, and like, that'd be more of a college football or college basketball type thing. But really, they beat the Lakers with they decided to put Rui Hachimura as their five. Like,
right.
they had just a
useless, you know, front court.
They had no chance there, and then they beat the Warriors without Steph. I guess I'm in the minority. It's a theoretical question, and it's coming from a notorious blowhard. I disagree with Steve Kerr. I don't think they were contenders even with Steph. I don't think they were good enough top to bottom because, to your point, what I feel like we've learned during these playoffs, and I think it really kind of started last season, I think it used to be like, are your three best players better than everybody else's three best players? It feels like now it's like, do you have the best eight players? Like, one through eight. It seems like more than has mattered recently, the quality of your depth matters more.
Well, that's where you give Minnesota all the flowers in the world. Because, I mean, yeah, Anthony Edwards, fantastic. Rudy Gobert, fantastic. But my goodness, you got Mike Conley hitting 4 threes last night. He has 16 and 8
Tell
last
you what,
night.
So your boy was sweating out -9.5
Yeah.
Hit some clutch free throws down the stretch, too.
That was an awesome Mike Conley game. And, you know, Jaden McDaniels, the 6 through 8 with Minnesota.
Alexander Walker, yeah.
Yeah, that's what sets them apart and makes them, you know, you want to bring the Grizzlies into the conversation. And the Grizzlies have great depth through 15. you go all the way down to right before you get to Yuki, right? Like, I would draw the line there.
With apologies to our Japanese listeners.
Yeah, and I love Yuki, but, like, you know, until you get to him, like, you have useful players, but they you know, your 6, 7, and 8 are not as effective. They're not as playable in a postseason series.
I think you could say you're 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8.
No doubt. I mean, the functionality of Minnesota's depth is what sets them apart, because, you know, it's like, all right, they've got like Robert Dillingham and Luka Garza as their 9th and 10th guys. Like, those guys are not ready. They're not great players. Like,
but they don't ask them either.
Right, but the Grizzlies have a better 9, 10, and 11 than Minnesota. But when you get to the playoffs, it's about the functionality of 1 through 8. And that's where Minnesota stands above and beyond, is because, well, one, they're relatively healthy, which is not to be taken for granted when you see what's going on with Boston, with Golden State. But yes, that's a huge asset.
Cool, because the other thing that got me thinking about it in terms of the Grizzlies is, because you mentioned like the 1 through 14. And I'm with you in the sense of, listen, I don't think you want to go into a playoff game saying we got to count on John Conchar. But we've seen, if you have to count on John Conchar, it's not unplayable. Now, it also limits your ceiling. Like, the fact that you're having to play him says something. But I just wonder if... I felt like there was such a concerted effort to be able to have 11, 12 guys that they could count on.
Because they knew they were going to dick around in the regular season.
That's the problem for me. It's like... Shouldn't you focus more on, hey, we got to have a better 1 through 8?
Yes. Yeah. Trade in some of those chips, man. Like, if you got to do it, like G.G. Jackson, Vince Williams, guys who we thought were maybe untouchable. Pigeon.
I'm out on G.G. I'm announcing it. I'm out. I was never as in as y'all were. I acknowledge he's toolsy as can be. South Carolina packed his bags for him to get him out of there. They got way better when he left. And on top of this, I never bought into this whole song and dance, happy-go-lucky. I've always gotten the vibes of knows how to put on the face, knows when the camera's on, but in the end, like, selfish me-first guy.
Oh, he's got to grow up. He's got to mature. But I can't be out on him yet. For crying out loud, really, really, he should just now be going into his junior year of college, because he was a reclass guy. And so his freshman season at South Carolina should have been his senior year of high school, which means last season should have been his freshman year of college, and this season should have been his rookie season. So, I mean, he's still so young. And he showed me enough in 23-24 to believe, okay, like, he could still be something. But he could be a trade chip. He could be a trade chip because...
See, I think this is the problem. I believe the league knows they should have traded him last summer.
Right, when his value was highest.
Yeah, I think his reputation's preceding himself.
Well, you ain't trading him to Denver.
No,
after he called Jokic.
Your point is right that the Grizzlies kind of have to be in on him, because now they're at the point where you can't move him, so your best bet is hoping he grows up.
Well, you could move him. I mean, there could be a franchise out there who looks at his upside, looks at his size, looks at all the things that have enamored us about him at times over the last couple of years and say, yeah, we would take that guy and maybe give up a decently valuable asset, you know?
That, and in fairness to the Grizzlies, I feel like one of the hardest things to do roster-wise is the consolidation trades. Because usually people don't want... That'd be a situation where the Grizzlies, we'll give you three for one, and other teams are like, no, thank you.
Yeah, it's time for the Grizzlies to go for quality over quantity. And then when you get the quality, to deploy the quality for plus minutes a game, for 65-plus games per season. And I don't know if two of them...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
That music means we welcome to the program the Memphis Grizzlies Radio Network play-by-play announcer. He, of course, is Eric Hasseltine, kind enough to join us each and every Thursday. Eric, which team down 3-2, Denver or Boston, which team do you think has the better shot to actually pull it off?
Denver, even though I think it's a long shot for both, just because the loss of Tatum is brutal. And I agree with what Cobb said. When you talk about these playoffs, it's the proof that it's a war of attrition. Who's healthy? The Grizzlies haven't been healthy since the Minnesota series. And look what's happened. You look at Golden State, they lose Steph Curry. You look at Boston, and you were correct in saying they've outplayed the Knicks for most of the series. But down the stretch, they just let things get away. And you know, like you said, you know where the ball is going into Brunson's hands. So that's the story to me. And then, go to the Cleveland –
yeah, Indiana yeah. series. Yeah, absolutely. You know,
they're missing three guys in a game, and they're up in that game and blow it. And then they come out in game three with those guys healthy, and I was at the game, and they just dominated. I mean, the people, it's fun for me to go now as a fan with friends, and I saw games 3 and 4 up in Indianapolis, and also ran into our old buddy Tony Brony Jr. and Brian Cardinal. I mean, imagine walking through, you know.
What Gainbridge are you Fieldhouse. Doing here?
Yeah, Gainbridge Fieldhouse, and they go, hey, that's Hasseltine. I'm like, who in Indianapolis knows who I am? And I turn around, and there's Tony and Brian. And Brian goes, hey, it's Brian Cardinal. I'm like, Brian, I know who you are.
I need a hair update.
Shaven, gone, none.
So
zero.
He's not even plugging it up anymore?
No, nothing.
That was one of my
nothing.
Favorites is the year he showed up with new hair.
Yeah, no, that wasn't. Yeah, that wasn't it. But it was dominant. And then I was at game four, and that was just amazing to watch because, again, you were playing supposedly a fully healthy Cavaliers team, although you knew guys were a little bit banged up, and then Donovan Mitchell doesn't come out for the second half, although at that point I don't think it mattered. They just got boat raced, but they weren't healthy. And when you're not healthy in these situations, that's really tough. Oklahoma City, they're healthy. Denver is relatively healthy, and now it's your best on best. Minnesota's healthy. Golden State was not. There you go. So I just think Denver, because of their experience, can lock in for a game six, and then you get to a game seven and anything can happen, just a bad shooting night and it's all done. So I just don't see Boston winning three straight games without Tatum. I thought it was an incredibly gutty performance last night. You guys mentioned Luke Kornet, and he played fantastic, and he's a big dude. We were in Miami to play the Heat, and the Celtics were there with a couple days off. And I get in the elevator at a hotel, and in comes Sam Hauser and Luke Kornet. And Sam Hauser's, a big dude. He's 6'8", 6'9". Kornet is, just eating up the elevator, even though he's not like Steven Adams big, but he's just big. Couldn't be nicer. So, hey, say hi to Smarty for us. Good luck tonight, blah, blah, blah. We'll do our best to soften him up for you. But he played great. And when you have a role player step up and have one of those games, see Rui Hachimura, the year against the Grizzlies where he had that big game one and Austin Reeves kind of burst onto the scene, that makes a difference. So who has those guys that can step up? And to me, the Thunder have that a little more than the Nuggets. The Pacers go deep, and that's why I think they were able to kind of get into that Cleveland series even before the injuries and be competitive. And with the Knicks, you don't know, because Tom Thibodeau just plays his starters ungodly amounts of minutes, but Tatum's loss is just such a big loss. So it's been fun. It's been fun to watch, but it's completely a situation of who's healthy, who's not.
Okay, Eric, was last night the final nail in the coffin for the Golden State Warriors dynasty?
I don't think so because of this. I don't know that they're going to be necessarily title contenders, but you look at their record when they got Jimmy Butler, and they were elite. Now, whether that's a schedule breakdown, whether that's they caught teams at the right time, who knows? So before I write it off, I want to see how they come out of the gate next year. This is not a lingering thing for Steph. It was a hamstring strain. It's unfortunate. I think they maybe realized that Moody's not the guy they wanted, or Kuminga. Kuminga is a bucket getter. Does he really fit out there with Curry? Can you parlay that into something, say with a team like a Washington or a Charlotte or a Utah that just got dinged in the lottery? Can you maybe pick up some of their role guys that fit your system for a Kuminga for plus a future first round pick? If you're Golden State, you have to explore those. I think you make one last run at it and let Steph figure out what he's going to do. I don't think it's over just yet. I don't know that they're better than the elite teams. And, look, everybody in Memphis is frustrated with what happened this year. At the end of the day, they still nearly won 50 games. Yes, they faltered down the stretch, which was frustrating. They did it with Ja Morant playing 50 games and, losing Brandon Clark. If they have their healthy roster, who knows? But again, that's a big if. If you don't have it, you can't go back to it and go, well, we shoulda, coulda, woulda. It doesn't matter. But I don't know that, the West is not getting any easier with Dallas winning the lottery and San Antonio getting better and having the opportunity. And now the Giannis news, where does he go? Who does he make better? Phoenix clearly wasn't in there this year and probably won't be in there next year if they move KD. So I think you look at those top 10 again and possibly a team like San Antonio ready to jump into that mix. Who's a team that falls out? Very well could be Golden State, but I just wouldn't bank on that just yet.
All right, what was more annoying on Monday night? Dallas getting the one or San Antonio getting the two?
Oh, that's a great question. It was crazy. So I got back Monday, and I picked my son up, and I'm like, hey, we got to get home, or let's listen to the draft lottery, and we're getting in there, and I'm hearing all the information. We got home from the grocery store and ran inside, and as they're unveiling the envelopes, I'm like, there is no way this happens again for San Antonio, right? None. But then you're like, oh, wow, it could be Dallas, though, and now Nico Harrison gets the one pick, which he wouldn't have gotten without that, I don't think, and which – everybody's like, well, the Grizzlies should have just tanked. They would have gotten – no, they wouldn't have. They would have been
They would have 14. They would have the 14.
Yeah, they would have been 14, yeah. Not 11. So I don't think it's annoying that Dallas got it in such a crazy year. It is Nico Harrison's, you know, are Nico Harrison's moves still looking buffoonish? Yeah, it was just a dumb trade. It was terrible. It was based on his, you know, whatever desire to assert the guys he wants, and fine, that's the job where you make the decisions, you sink or swim with them. I think obviously ownership had something to do with that, but to me, I thought it was a mistake, and that's my opinion, but I don't get paid to make those decisions. I don't know that it's annoying that San Antonio got the two. I just think it's crazy how fortunate they are in the draft lottery and others are not. And, you know, I heard Jeff talking about how do you make this better. I do think maybe you go to a system where you wait it more for the top, for the teams that are at the bottom. The bottom five maybe just get more weight to it, or the bottom three get more weight to it, because, yeah, teams will tank. I don't think you can ever prevent tanking. In that, and that word is just so, you know, it's so volatile around the league. But when you know you don't have the horses to run the race, sometimes you have to play young guys to see who's part of the process moving forward. What Utah did with not playing Markkanen and some of those guys in games or second halves where they sat guys, that can be looked at and go, all right, that's just blatant. But in the end, you run the risk of, if you don't win it, then now your fans are angry, and you know you can't. The almighty dollar does speak to the end. If you're not trying to win, eventually people turn on you. See the LA Clippers for years; they did that, and fans just wouldn't go. Even when they moved to the Staples Center from the horrible LA Sports Arena, fans just wouldn't go. They're like, I'm not supporting an owner who every time we have good players just dumps them off. Look at the Oakland A's. It works in all sports. I think the way baseball does it is pretty remarkable, that if you don't have a certain payroll, if you don't have a certain level of payroll, you know, you can't continuously win the number one pick. Like if you didn't pay enough, because what, baseball doesn't have a salary cap, and I don't think they have a floor. And so it was like the White Sox were not eligible to get the number one pick because they were below the level of spending, and their record was there. You can be here, but you can't be there. And
I mean, that's why your beloved A's actually spent a little money last offseason, was they had to get up to that threshold.
Exactly. Because, you know, if they're going to be in it, they might as well get prospects that they're going to develop and send to other teams. It's awesome. It's so much fun. Or take guys that never pan out as the like a top five pick or a number one pick that goes to football. But who's better? Not me.
We did wind up, like, it's good for our boy Brent Rooker. Like, that's why Brent got a nice contract. They had to spend some money.
And he's playing great. Yeah. he's a good dude. And look, and Tyler Soderstrom, you know, whose father is a friend of mine through one of my really good friends in college. It's my buddy in college is his uncle. Tyler's the son of Steve Soderstrom, who pitched for the Giants and married his best friend's sister. So we used to see Steve all the time, and we're, you know, all of us knew about Tyler, and it's great to see it. Anyway, total side note. I just think you can tweak the NBA draft lottery a little bit for a little bit better chance for those teams that truly need it. And you can't prevent the injuries of like a star guy, but you know, the days of a David Robinson getting hurt and it's just tanking an entire season to that point, those aren't the same anymore. Because if you have David Robinson, you're going to surround him with other talent. You're going to still try to win. And you know, so it's interesting. I'd say the more annoying thing to me was watching teams in desperate need of it just get kicked in the face again. Like, all right, here we go.
It's it's just more good players to the West. It's like, can we balance this thing out a little bit?
Right. Right. I will never forget back in the day when the Grizzlies were bad and they had the worst record, they had a 50% chance of getting one or two. 50%. And it's Odom or Durant. And everybody said, well, what do you want? And I said, truthfully, I'd rather have number two, because it takes all the pressure off if number one, because there were questions about Odom, if he doesn't pan out. If he's the two on the board, there's not a team in the league that wouldn't take him. It's great. And we're opening it up. We have a cameraman there. Like, ESPN is cutting to the Flying Saucer downtown. We've got this massive party. And someone, whoever it was that had the third worst record, they open the six and they go, and with the sixth pick, we'll go to whoever it was, like the Milwaukee Bucks. And everybody goes, yeah. And I go, no, it's the worst thing ever. And everybody goes, what are you talking about? I go, five is going to be Seattle and four are going to be the Grizzlies. So like, how do you know? I said, because three teams jumped. That's why Milwaukee dropped three spots. Chicago dropped three spots, whoever it was. sure as heck we knew. And then it was Atlanta, Seattle, and or it was Boston with five. I'm sorry, Atlanta, Seattle, and then Portland. And so, yeah, that was, you know, a blow. But in the end, you got Mike Conley, and he turned out to be great for the franchise. Would you rather had Kevin Durant? Sure. Would you rather had Greg Odom? No. So revisionist history, it makes it easy. But there's ways to tweak it, and that's fun. It's wild that, God, that you mentioned Rob Dillingham, though. I'm literally walking through the town my buddy lives in outside Indianapolis called Zionsville, and we're at his restaurant, a little, you know, Tex-Mex place, and I was like, there's Little League fields over there. It was a beautiful day. Let's go just check this out. And I'm walking by a pickup basketball game, and a guy shoots a fadeaway. He goes, Rob Dillingham. And I'm like, of all the players in the world you could pick to mimic in a pickup game, this dude just picked Rob Dillingham. Needless to say, the shot didn't come anywhere near the basket, by the way. Nothing against Rob Dillingham. I think he's going to be a good player. I really do. Because he looked good against the Grizz a couple times. But I'm like, bro, there's like 400 NBA players, and you picked Rob Dillingham. Nice work.
That's fantastic. You mentioned Mike Conley. Eric, man, how about this man? 37 years old, yeah. Out there last night, banging home three after three in a clinch situation at age 37, man. I don't know that any of us saw this coming, the longevity when he left Memphis. Because, you know, that last full season he was in Memphis, he was coming off of a significant injury. And at that point, we were sort of looking at him as being, oh, you know, he might kind of be in the twilight of his career. I mean, just sort of how proud of him are you to still see him out here playing at such a high level at his age?
Amazing. I mean, because there's a, you know, this is completing the 24th year here and, you know, going into 25, and there's, you probably count them on two hands, these guys that there's a line where it's like broadcaster player, and I'm cool with that. Like, we're fine. And you see him, you say hello, hey, have a good night. There's a handful of guys that you cross that line and you become friends with. Brian Cardinal's a great example. Mike Miller's a great example. Zach Randolph, of all people, and I became friends. Like, we talk about families and stuff away from basketball more than basketball when you see them. And Mike was obviously that guy. He and I had a phenomenal relationship and, you know, did a lot of stuff away from basketball, working together. And just to see him grow from this 19-year-old kid that is getting shred his rookie year by media, by people like, oh, this guy ain't going to do it. Look, he's tiny. He's not this. And just watching the dedication he had to getting better, the jump shot, the physicality, what he knew. And when he left, you know, the hardest day, I think, that I can recall, one of the toughest days in my career was that trade deadline day in Oklahoma City.
I was there that day on the beat that year. Yeah.
Yep. You were there. We were playing the Thunder, and you got to walk in going like, Mike's here, but he may be gone in like 2 hours. And so I see him walking into what's now Paycom Center, and I caught him real quick and I said, hey, I go, you all right? He's like, yeah, you know, it is what it is. It's part of the business. And I just said, look, man, if it goes down, just know that I can't thank you enough for how cool you've been with us. We wish you all the best. Want nothing but success for you. You know, hopefully we can keep in touch. It's like, absolutely, you know, thanks, man. Appreciate you. Like, you always have been great with me. And you shake hands. You go, okay. So we get out of shoot around. We go back to the team hotel, and Fish and I are having lunch in the team hotel that day because we were staying in a place where there wasn't a lot around it. There's Mike and his dad. And they're literally sitting there with like multiple cell phones on the table. And you're like, oh man, that's gotta be rough. Waiting. Nothing. Get to the game that night. I look at him. He just kind of looks and kind of shakes his head. I go, tough day. And he's like, yeah, it wasn't fun. And I can say, I can only imagine. Then you sit down with him at the day of the exit interviews. Those are the days where like, okay, you're still here. JB's still here. And that was the infamous day. They did all the exit interviews. And then 2 hours later, gas JB and Chris Wallace and John Hollinger and all these guys. And, you know, I remember saying to him, like, look, hey, we know it's coming in the off season, so thanks, you know, good luck. And he goes to Utah. And you're like, all right, this is a team where he has a chance to go get a ring. They're really good, and they're going to be even better with him. And they're a one seed, and they get bounced. And then they get bounced. And then he goes to Minnesota, and you're like, all right, he's in the conference finals. Get to the championship. Your best friend won one with Toronto. Let's go. And so now it's like that's consciously pulling for him. But you watch, they slowed down a couple of his jumpers last night, and you watch how much that form has improved and how pure it looks now. And I'm like, this dude still has gas in the tank. And that veteran experience of having been there, and those guys having been there last year, yes, I agree with the notion, probably more impressive to get there last year than this year in terms of what they had to go through, but they're there. And now you're there and you don't know who you're playing just yet. More than likely, in my opinion, going to be the Thunder. But if you go against the Thunder, you've got some advantages in certain positions. And, you know, I'm never a fan of another team for obvious reasons. You pull for guys. So that's a guy you're definitely pulling for. And if Mike could go out, even if they got to the finals and didn't win it, it would be he got to the finals. And that's a big step, because of those core four guys, two of them have rings, with Tony getting one in Boston and Mark getting one in Toronto, and two, you know, only have gotten to the conference finals. And as much as it stinks for Zach, I think he would be happy, and all the other two would be ecstatic if Mike got to that opportunity. And you know, class act all the way around, and you know, represented this organization and the game for as many years as he has, like a true professional.
Well, the other thing, you know, that weirdly has actually been a value this year, just getting the ball in bounds and having a guy that can get it across half court.
Like, Eric, that helps sometimes.
I swear to God, it's an epidemic right now in the NBA. I feel like there's so many games you're watching, teams just can't get it in bounds. It's not just the Grizzlies.
No, there's a couple reasons. You know, it's been so long where guys are like, all right, just pick them up at half court.
Yeah, like a press, what's that? Like that happened right to last night. That happened to the Timberwolves. They actually, you know, the Warriors started pressing, and they're like, we got to call timeout. Like, they just didn't, no one came to get the ball.
Because the years passed, you were so fearful of getting into a press and not being able to get back and give up layups, made it like, all right, well, now you're not as fearful of that, because guys, when they drive to the basket, it wasn't last night, I think it was New York, or it was either New York, it was one of the two. And it might have been Boston. Got a wide open lane to the bucket. I think it was Drew Holiday. And literally, there's nobody around him. He's got a layup. And he throws it backwards to the right wing for a three that missed. And I'm like, dude, just take the 2 points. Seriously. I mean, you're going – that's your offense. But
I'm with you. It's driving me insane.
If teams are going to not just drive it right to the bucket and they're going to look for a pass, we can recover if we press a little bit easier, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because there's extra time, yeah.
Yeah, so now you're more apt to press, and guys haven't been doing it. Like, okay, and these guys are – the athleticism in the league right now is just at an all-time high. So you may not be the greatest basketball player all around, but if you're an athlete and you're willing to accept that role of pressuring the ball and just making it miserable to get it up the floor and get physical until a referee tells you to stop – makes it really hard, especially like a guy like Jaden McDaniels. And that,
well, it's why Russ
McDaniels smile, it'll be a first.
It's why Russ still has a job,
like, huh?
It's why Russ still has a job.
Yeah, and because he plays all out all the time. And as much as people may hate Russell Westbrook, there's been a lot of praise thrown his way this year that's deserved of him being an absolute gamer. Like Charles Barkley said, that guy plays harder than anybody I've ever seen throughout his entire career. Anybody. And think of who he played with. Like,
what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.